The reading is from Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 to 11, and that's page 1180 in the Church Bibles. That's Philippians 3, 1 to 11. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your presence here this morning. Thank you that you are a God who speaks. We pray that we might open our hearts and minds, that we might hear you, your word to us this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're thinking today and going on a bit further through this term on the topic of connections. So this is really an introduction, an overview, if you like, to connections. And we shall be looking at all sorts of different connections and different ways of being connected. So have a look at this. Thank you. I'm sure that's familiar to most people, particularly if you're like us and have got children who may have had those, or got grandchildren who may have them. It's a Duplo brick. But it's not much good on its own. And you can get those bricks. Sorry, this is just not going to work. Thank you. In all sorts of shapes and sizes. So there's a bag and you can see different ones there. But actually, there's more to him than that, than that, because the whole point of them is that they are connected. So, when our grandson was visiting us recently, he delved into our box of ancient Duplo bricks and spent a long time connecting them, because that's what they're for, isn't it? They're not there just to be on their own. They're there to connect, to be connected. We, you and I, are designed to be connected. From the very beginning of the Bible, from the very beginning of creation, God, who himself was in a connected relationship with the Son and the Spirit, says, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. He designed us to be like him, to be part of a connection and to be connected to him. Further on, he says this, but he also says, I want to add this, that it's not good for man to be alone. So relationships and connections are really important. And further on, Solomon said this, he has planted eternity in the human heart. So we're designed to be connected, but we're also designed to be connected spiritually. We're spiritual beings. We can't live fully, even, dare I say, we can't survive on simply physical things. Every culture in history has a spiritual dimension. And people around us may not know Jesus, may not know Christ, may not really know God, but they'll put something in their life that represents spirituality for them. Because we are designed to be connected somehow spiritually, to have something that fills that spiritual need. And we know that connection was lost when Adam and Eve decided to go their own way and almost disconnect from what God wanted. But Jesus came back to restore that connection. Jesus himself said, the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost, to restore that relationship, to connect us to God. Jesus lived life, as we sang in that first hymn, Jesus lived life fully human, but being connected intimately with God the Father. And he gave his life so that we can be connected to God. We can have that close connection to the Father. He said, I've come that they may have life and life in all its fullness. That connection with God, that spiritual dimension to life, the fullness of life. So we're designed to be connected. And each one of us is designed with potential. And we're all different. So just like Duplo bricks can be made into all sorts of different things, we are individuals, we're different. But we're reminded we are God's masterpiece. He has a plan and a purpose for us together as God's people, but he has a plan and a purpose for us individually. And each one is different, purposefully different. And we're connected as a church family. If you can see that picture, you may not see it clearly on the little screens, but it's hundreds and hundreds of tiny little people making up the body. Paul said the body, the church, is a unit, though it's made up of many parts. We're connected as a church family. We need these connections. But of course, we only function properly when we're connected to the head. And he says the head of the body is Christ. So we're connected as a church family, and we shall be looking at that as a separate aspect later on. And of course, each of us has a wider network of connections. And those networks of connections, those connections are really, really important. They're needed so that the kingdom of God can be built up. We're not just connected here and then everything outside is irrelevant. We're connected here and we go out into our other networks, our other connections, and they're really important. They're needed so God's kingdom can grow. You may be the one person with a connection to God that somebody at work, somebody at the school gate, somebody at college, somebody in the community, in the pub, you may be the only person they know who's got a connection to God. And so you are needed, but your connection with them is vitally important. So all sorts of different connections. But I want to look especially today at that passage from Philippians and to look at Paul. And Paul says at the beginning, he talks about his history. And he was brought up as a Jew. He was brought up as a religious person to obey the law. And then he had that remarkable encounter with Jesus, and his life was changed. So when he says, watch out for those dogs, those mutilators who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh, he's talking about people for whom circumcision was the sign that they belonged to God. It was an outside practice. It was nothing to do with the heart. And Paul's heart was changed dramatically when he encountered Jesus. And so he says, this is what I was like. I had all sorts of connections. I was connected as a Jew. I was connected as a religious person. I had amazing connections because I could translate my history right the way back to the tribe of Benjamin. I had all these reasons to be confident about my worldly connections. I was a Hebrew. I was a Pharisee. I had some status in the community. I was really intent on obeying the law. I had all these extraordinary, important, significant, in worldly terms, connections. But then he says, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss. And he goes on, what is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. He's given up the religious practice because of Jesus. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. So if we think of all these bricks connected, Paul had all these worldly connections. But actually what he's saying now, that all those aren't anything compared to knowing Christ. And so his life, whilst it still had those connections, I can just do this, had Christ as the number one. That was the foundation. We used to sing a song, a hymn, which included the words, the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that's what Paul is saying. The foundational, important, number one connection is my connection to Christ. He's not talking about head knowledge. He's talking about heart knowledge, heart feelings. He says elsewhere, for me to live is Christ. His whole purpose, his life was founded on his connection with Christ. So I want to look at some of the connections that and what they might help, how they might help us. What can change for us as we intentionally, as Paul did, make our connection to God the number one priority. First of all, connection grows affection. If you can see that little picture on the screen near you, it's Snoopy and the dog. I can't remember his name. Thank you. And the bird, sorry. Can't even see. Yeah. And just that love is spending time together. And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Do we see that in Jesus? We see that depth of love for God. And as we show and live out that love for God, as we spend time with God, that relationship deepens. And we discover more and more how much God loves us. That's a never-ending journey. And that was what Paul prayed for God's people. He says, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. So as we connect to God, as we take those steps to connect, our affection for God grows, but we also understand more fully how much God loves us. It's a journey, but connection, that number one connection, can grow affection. That connection enables direction. If you can see, there's a sheep of some sort lying on a chair with sunglasses on, headphones on, a book in his hand, a television blaring out in front of him, a book beside him, a radio beside him. And he's saying, I wonder why I don't hear from the shepherd anymore. And there in the background is the shepherd shouting. We need to make time to connect with God. And it's very easy in a world of distractions to actually miss out on what God is saying. It's the norm that God speaks and his people can hear him. And God is interested in the ordinary details of our life. He's got good plans for us, as we've said before. Good plans for our homes, our jobs, our families, our relationships. But he wants us to connect with him so that he can direct us and show us the way to go. Jesus said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Jesus is a bit like, and I don't mean this rudely in any way, but Jesus is a bit like having a spiritual sat-nav. Which way shall I go? Where shall I go? When we ask God those simple questions, who do you want me to speak to today? What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to live? Which church shall I go to? Should I go to worship today? Are we asking him all these questions and expecting him to answer? Proverbs says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. So when we connect with him, when we ask him, and knowing that he will reply to us, he will direct us. So connection enables direction. And thirdly, connection empowers us. Paul said, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. And then he says, so that I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. When we connect to God and to his Spirit, and we become more and more filled with his Spirit and refreshed by his Spirit and filled anew day by day, the Spirit changes us to be more like Jesus. And the Spirit produces fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All those things that the Spirit does within us, the Spirit guides and directs us, enables us to live supernatural lives, as Jesus did. But many Christians live a life without any power. Try to live a Christian life without any power. It's like trying to turn the light on when it's not plugged in. It doesn't work. And Jesus wants to empower us by his Spirit to live a life for him and to live a supernatural life. So that connection with Jesus empowers us. But that connection, first and foremost, is like an anchor. Charles Stanley said this, you may go through difficulty, hardship, or trial, but as long as you are anchored to him, you will have hope. And all our bits of life should be connected to God. We don't live life, and actually this bit's separate, or even the major part is separate. That's the disconnect, and this is my life with God. Everything should be connected with Christ as the priority, and then everything is in the right place. If we lose the priority at the bottom, if we lose that priority of Jesus in our lives, then everything else is going to fall to pieces. We need that foundation of connecting with Christ so that everything in life holds together and we have hope. And when we do that individually, it makes a difference. But when we do it corporately as a church, making connecting to God the priority, not only will we have hope, not only will our lives be transformed, but others can come to know that transformation and hope. Our mission statement is living and loving like Jesus so that lives are transformed and hope restored, so that ours are more strongly connected, but then so that others can come in and make those strong connections. And Paul knew God's promises. As a religious Jew, and then as a Christian, he would know his scriptures. He would know God's word. He would know God's promises. And right at the beginning in the book of the Bible, in the book of Deuteronomy, as God's people moved into the promised land and took that journey with God, God made a promise. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. And that's still true for us today. That God will lead us on. We had this word as we were praying about talks of connections. And as I was thinking about this talk, God spoke to me particularly in one of my readings this week. And within hours of reading about connecting with Jesus and helping others connect to Jesus, I had a phone call from somebody desperately wanting to connect to Jesus without hope. I think God wants to lead us into this an exciting time of discovering how strongly we can be connected, strengthening our connections to God so that other people can be connected too. So some things to think about, for us to think about. How often do we pray, thanking God and listening to him for ourselves and for others? How open to change and challenge are we? How willing are we to grow in trusting God and to actually take those steps? And for some of us, it may be a big step because we know God well. For some of us, it may just be that first small step. Actually, God, I think I want to know you. Do we regularly spend time with God on our own and with others? Because we need those connections with others to help us on our Christian journey. And lastly, are we as accessible to God as he is to us? God is always there for us. Are we always there for him? Are all our bits of life connected? Or are some of them separated? How accessible to God are we? For Paul, Philippians 3:10, he said this: I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. It's a journey. But I believe that God longs for us, for me and for you, to experience a deeper connection to him. I believe he's got exciting plans for each one of us individually and corporately. Challenges too. But in all this, the important thing is to know Christ, to know the power of his resurrection, and to take maybe the first step on that journey to connecting with him better. Let's pray together. I'm going to finish by reading a well-known passage from the Bible that Jesus said to his disciples, to his listeners, about being connected to him and the encouragement that comes from that. Jesus says, "I am the real vine, and my Father is the farmer. He cuts off every branch of me that doesn't bear grapes, and every branch that is grape bearing, he prunes back so that it will bear even more. Live in me. Make your home in me, just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you are connected to me. I am the vine, you are the branches. When you're connected to me and I with you, the relation intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is deadwood, gathered up and thrown on the bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is. When you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples, I've loved you the way my Father has loved me. Make yourselves at home in my love. If you keep my commands, you'll remain intimately at home in my love. That's what I've done, kept my Father's commands and made myself at home in his love." Lord, thank you for your love for us. We pray that we might know that love more and more, that our connections might be strengthened in you, that we might grow, that we might go on that exciting journey of discovering the abundant life that you have for us and of bearing fruit and building your kingdom through our networks of connections, through in our community, wherever we may be. May we be open to hearing you and your direction, that your name might be honoured. Amen.